Okay, open your Bibles up to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14. Yep. These verses that I'm going to read are some verses that you should have on your heart. These are some verses that you should take some time to memorize them and say them every once in a while. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Then go on down to verse 17. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. So, have you ever wondered why some Christians are constantly beset with overwhelming challenges, sickness, and defeat? If God's promise in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 is true, have you ever wondered about that? Do you know that when Sodom and Gomorrah was roaring, that Lot was down there? Did you know that Lot was a righteous man? How about that? Lot was a righteous man. Lot's wife was righteous. She got out, but she looked back. She was told not to look back, but she looked back. Lot was a righteous man. He was in right standing with God because of a covenant that he had. How about that? Abraham and Lot were both thriving in the same area, and their herdsmen, their herders, got to arguing and bickering back and forth, and Abraham said, no, I'm going to choose the way of peace. You pick a place where you want to be, and I'll take the other one. So Lot picked a place, and he went down and ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he got out of trouble just by the skin of his teeth. He barely made it. But he was a righteous man. Abraham, on the other hand, he was a righteous man, and he just prospered. The blessings of God just kept pouring down on him and pouring down on him and pouring down on him. Why, if they were both righteous, why weren't they both blessed equally? Because one was established in righteousness, and one was just righteous without the knowledge of it. Did I grow a tail?
No, you didn't button your
brush. Well, I did that on purpose. So anyway, one was established in righteousness, and the other one wasn't. Now you can understand why. You can see people that you know are born again, they have one struggle, one horrible thing, one terrible thing right after another. And you wonder why they're not established in righteousness. It's important to understand this. There's a lot of people that are running around that act like righteousness is right doing. That's a false teaching. Righteousness is right standing with God. It's a position. It's not an action. It's a position. The minute you got born again, you got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You do acts of righteousness because you are righteous. You don't do acts of righteousness to become righteous. See, there's a difference.
But
Yes, you do obedience, but that's not going to earn your righteousness. Righteousness is a separate thing. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of the blood of Jesus, period. You can't earn it. And in fact, in covenant times, when they cut a covenant, they would take a part of each other's clothing and swap. So they'd take a robe. One guy would take his robe off and put it on the other guy. When you got born again, you got clothed with the robe of righteousness. You got clothed with the robe of righteousness. And it was not because of anything special that you did other than say, Jesus be my Lord. Amen? Now, let's look at verse 17 here. It says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, if that promise is to become ours, it's going to be because of verse 14. In righteousness shall thou be established. You first have to become established in righteousness for that verse 17 to be yours. You have to be established in righteousness. I had a hard time with righteousness. I didn't like that word. I didn't want nothing to do with that word. I avoided that word. The first time I heard that word was in bars. And it was always something like this, those self-righteous hypocrites. So when I got born again, I thought, and I ran into that word, I said, I'm not having anything to do with that. Several years down the road, I'm in Texas, and this was funny because I was talking to some local preachers, and they were talking about Kenneth Copeland, and I said, you know, I heard of that guy. I never heard him preach, but I heard of him. And these guys, you would have thought, you would have thought that I just fell off the turnip wagon standing there and said, I never heard Kenneth Copeland preach. And they said, come here. They took me to their house, opened up this closet, and I never seen such a stack of preaching tapes anywhere in my life. They had more tapes in there. And they said, pick something. And I seen something on there about righteousness, being in right standing. I said, I want to hear more about that. And it's Kenneth Copeland. He went through a whole big series teaching on how we've been put into right standing with God because of what Jesus did. Think about that for just a second. Righteousness is not your good behavior. Righteousness is being in right standing with God. Now, because you are in right standing with God, you go do righteous deeds. But you don't go do righteous deeds so you can be in right standing with God. You see how that gets confused? You're not going to earn your righteousness. It came only by the shed blood of Jesus. Now, when you get established in righteousness, then you will be far from oppression and terror. And not one weapon formed against you will prosper. Now, this condition is not hard to meet. For a start, you already have righteousness. You got it at the new birth. This enables you to reign in life. The more you learn about what Jesus did for you on that cross, the more you're going to operate in it. Now, here's the thing. This is one of your defense weapons here. This is part of your breastplate of righteousness. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. This is my heritage as a servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is of the Lord, thus saith the Lord. That is one of those things that you should have wrote on your heart. How many of you people have had somebody walking around town saying horrible things about you? I promise you I have. Did you know there's three covens in this town, in this county? There's three witches' covens in this county. Do you think they're saying nice things about me? This is one of the things I walk around saying. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. See, if you give angels something to do, they'll do it. The Bible tells us the angels hearken unto the voice of the Lord, unto the voice of His word. And a lot of people walk around thinking they hearken unto the voice of the Lord, but they say, but it's really they hearken unto the voice of His word. So when you take God's word into your heart and put it out of your mouth in faith, guess what you just did? You just activated a whole bunch of angels. Not one. You know, there's kind of a misconception that you get a guardian angel. No, you got a whole bunch of angels. Unfortunately, most people keep their angels on the bench because they don't say anything that's in line with God's word. They don't give the angels something to work with. This verse right here is one of those verses that as Christians, you need to understand this. Not only to protect yourself in the spirit, but also there's other Christians running around out there. And people in churches have a bad habit of backbiting and gossiping. Now, if you're talking about somebody, you might want to stop and consider the fact that he might be walking around saying this verse. How about that? Then guess who the only one you're going to have to answer to is? Because God's going to protect the one that's staying in His word. It's not wise to backbite other Christians. It's not wise to gossip about them. You better leave them alone. Because that Christian might know this verse. Now, he might even say this verse every day of his life. So be mindful. Even if you do know something about somebody, God has taught us in His word that we should pray for them. Amen? So Isaiah, well, let's go to Romans. I want to look at Romans chapter 5. Hold your finger in Isaiah 54. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So how are we going to reign in life? It's by receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Did you notice the word gift? You can't earn a gift. A gift is free. It's free to us. It costs God everything. It costs Jesus His life. It costs Him His blood. That's what that righteousness cost Him. But it's a gift to us. And it can only be received. It cannot be earned. So now, once we understand that, look back to Isaiah 54, verse 17, and understand that it is not your righteousness, but it is the Lord's. And He gave it to you. To be established in something is to have that something as your very foundation for security. See, the weapons of our warfare, you know, when they go through all that and they talk about the armor, you know, the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and the belt of truth, the sandals of peace, all this stuff. Did you know that the only way you're going to be clothed with those is to have a revelation of what the blood of Jesus did for you? See, the minute you understand that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and it's because of what Jesus did and not you, guess what you just did? You just got the breastplate of righteousness. Then we can quench the fiery darts. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever wondered what our breastplate of righteousness might be made of? You might think wood, brass, steel, a lot of things, but it says to quench the fiery darts. I think it's something to do with the water, the blood. We've got this breastplate of righteousness that quenches the fiery darts. Puts those fiery darts out. See, this is why we don't necessarily have to defend ourselves. Somebody says, this is where turning the other cheek comes in. You know, somebody's running around saying bad things about you, you know, and mean things, whatever. He can turn the other cheek. Turning the other cheek does not mean that you get dominated by somebody and let them beat on you. That's not turning the other cheek. You don't ever allow that to happen. Amen? So, let's look over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now there's one of those things, one of those new creation realities that you should circle. If any man be in Christ, so if you're born again, guess what happened? You're in Christ. You received the one baptism that is necessary to salvation. Did you know that? There is one baptism that is necessary to salvation. When you get born again, you receive that baptism. And it's not going into the horse trough and getting dunked. And it's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's born again. When you get born again, you get baptized into the body of Christ. Now, you are a Christian, you are a part of the body of Christ. Your life is completely wrapped up in Him. You got swallowed up. You're part of the body. You didn't get baptized into the Methodist Church. You didn't get baptized into the Baptist Church. You didn't get baptized into the non-denominational church. You didn't get baptized into any denomination. When you got born again, you got baptized into Christ. Now, you are a member of the church. I've had a lot of interesting conversations with people. They come up and ask me what they have to do to become a member of this church. They said, are you born again? I said, well, yeah, you're a member. and said, don't I got to fill something out? No. Don't I got to get baptized? No. Are you born again? Yeah. Then you are a member of the church. See, this is what drives me nuts about all these different denominations. It's just different divisions. You know, we're supposed to be one body. But nobody can seem to come to an agreement on much of anything. So we got, I don't know how many different denominations. But it's a crazy situation. But don't worry, Jesus is going to bring us together in the unity of the faith, not our doctrine, but the unity of the faith. And we can all take our doctrine and throw it over our shoulders because it's going to be His way. Amen? Okay, let's carry on here. Verse 18 says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So now, we got a job. The minute we got born again, we got a job. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And here's the interesting thing. There's a lot of people running around saying, well, the Great Commission shouldn't even be in the Bible. Okay, well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21 is in the Bible. And it's the same thing. We're supposed to reconcile people to God. The same way somebody witnessed us and got us born again. That's what we do. That somebody reconciled us to God. Now we go tell somebody about the saving grace of God and reconcile them to God. Now, verse 19 says, to wit that God is in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. There's that. There it is again. Two verses in a row, we've been told what our job is. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ, He be reconciled unto God. You know what an ambassador is? See, we have foreign ambassadors. You know, the presidents will assign an ambassador to each country. You know, they'll have an ambassador to all these different important places. And these are people that go speak for the president. Now, we got a lot of preachers running around saying, well, we're just lowly servants. And that's bull. You're not a lowly servant. An ambassador is a minister of the highest rank. You've got a very important job. There is no more important job in this whole world than getting somebody born again. That's the most important job that we'll ever face, is getting somebody born again. You realize when we're talking to somebody and they give us a little window of opportunity, we have an opportunity to reconcile them to God. Here's the stakes. This guy can accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior and become a part of the body of Christ, and he's good. Or he can reject Jesus and be one step closer to hell. That's big stakes. Now, what happens if God tells us, go over and talk to this person, and we say, no, I don't like him. We just said, no, I'm not going to waste my time telling him about the reconciliation of God. Basically, just let him go to hell. You know, Paul was a bad cat when he was Saul. He had a license to drag Christians in chains to prison. He was a terrorist. And then he had a confrontation with Jesus, and he was blinded, and he was sitting in a room on Straight Street. And God told Ananias to go minister to him. Ananias said, you know, this guy's a bad guy. And God dealt with Ananias, and Ananias went and did what God told him to do. I wonder what would have happened had Ananias not done that. Can you imagine having our New Testament without Paul? See, God got his work done through Ananias. That's the way God operates, through people. See, Ananias, he didn't want anything to do with Paul. In fact, Paul was the last guy Ananias was interested in seeing. But see, God doesn't always call us to do easy things. But he does equip us to do the things he calls us to do. So it's not impossible. If God asks you to go talk to somebody, know this, that he's right there with you to talk to them with you. He'll talk through you. He will give you the words that you need to use. He just needs you to go over there and start talking to them. Too many times we said, no, I ain't talking to that guy. I know him. He's a bad dude. He may be a bad dude. But did you know that bad people need Jesus too? You know, Jesus said an interesting thing. He said he did not come to save the righteous. He came to seek and save the lost. And then he gave us this job of going and seeking and saving the lost, finding them. So we're ambassadors. We're not lowly servants. We're ambassadors for Christ. Now verse 21 says, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, it's because of what Jesus did. That's why you've been made the righteousness of God. Because of him. All you did was say, Jesus, be my Lord. That was all you could do. And you got put into that position. Honestly, if there was anything else that was needed for you to become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, God would have put it in the Bible for us. But since there is nothing that you can do or ever could do that is more valuable than the blood of Jesus, then the only thing you can do is receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Amen. See, there's people running around trying to do good deeds so that they can be righteous before God. That's not going to work. Instead, receive his righteousness, and because you received his righteousness, go out and do good deeds. That's your obedience. Go out there and do those things that he told you to do, but do it because he already did it to you. Amen? See, if we get these things mixed up, we become frustrated. Well, if we get them in order, it makes it a lot better. Amen? Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us every day. Our Lord Jesus, who is our high priest, is always praying for us, making intercession for us, causing us to be in the right place at the right time so that right things can happen to us, and we don't have to depend on time and chance. We depend on him. And Father, we thank you for your grace. Your grace and mercy is renewed every day. We get a fresh, abundant overflow of your grace and mercy every time we come to you. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.